It's very interesting, Gemara, in speaking about the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara says, this is in Sukkah, Daf Kaf Beis, Amud Beis, Tana Rabbana, Hamuva kimin bayit alfa pish eina kochavim nirim mitocha ksheira. If you're having a sukkah that's going to be very thick, that it's always going to look like a house, even though the stars aren't seen through this, ksheira, it's still a kosher sukkah. Ein kochavei chama nirim mitocha. If you don't have the kochavei chama, which literally translated is the stars of the chama of the sun, Beit Shammai poslim, Beit Shammai says it's no good, Beit Hillel machshirim, and Beit Hillel says it's a good sukkah. Now obviously, we're speaking here about two types of stars. We're speaking about, in the beginning, about afal pi she'ena kochavim nirim mitocha k'shera, what we call kochavei laila, the stars of the night. And the second part of the Gemara seems to be talking about kochavei chama, seems to be talking about stars of the day. So obviously, we need to understand what are these stars of the day referring to that Beit Shammai says it's no good and Beit Hillel says it is good. We need to, before we even begin our discussion, and we will see that this is the godless of learning, that what seems to be a technical discussion about stars, whether you see them or don't, stars of night, stars of the day, we'll see that a very fundamental aspect of Avodas Hashem is found in this Maimer Chazal. But before we even begin with the stars of the day, I'd like to make one Ha'ara, which will be pertinent, as we will see, for our discussion about the stars of the night. We know this, we sit in our sukkah first night, we look up, and even though the Gemara says, K'shera, you don't need to see the stars, that's only b'di'evet. L'chatchila, it's appropriate that there shouldn't be such thick schach, that you have the ability, right, you can't have very thin schach, you can't have more sun than shade, but you should be able, within the cracks of the schach, to be able to see the kochavim nirim mitocha, the stars being seen from within them. So obviously, al pi derech pshuta, we're talking about the stars of the heaven. The Lekach V'Lipuv, Rav Shur, teaches that this is a deeper message as well. And he says, Shulchan Aruch, source 2, Muvala l'chad yivrei Yerushalmi b'sukkah, shetzarich hatzchach liop ofen shiyu kochavim nirim mitocha. And he says, what does it mean, nirim mitocha, seen from within it? And he says that kochav, star, is really made up of a composite of two words. Kafvav, which is 26, and kafbet, which is 22. Kafvav, we know, is numerical value of God's name, 26. And the 22 represent the letters in the Torah, the letters in the alphabet. But we're known as the Amskula. V'yitam niskula, the skula, it's the goal, it's the three, the vocalization of the three dots. You have Kudsha Brichu, Hashem, that's the kafav, Oraisa, that's the 22, that's the letters in the alphabet, the letters in the Torah. And the third of the three is the person themselves. V'tzarich ha'adam lamim b'kedushat nefesh Yisrael. And recognize that we have a chibur, we have a connection between the Torah and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's what it means, kochavim nirim mitocha, the bracket, mitocha dam ba'atzmo nirim ha-kochavim, that we have to see within ourselves our greatness, the chelek elokam imal. But we have to see within ourselves that we have a chelek in the Torah, that the kochav, when we say that we should see the stars from within it, it's not only from within the sukkah, you should see the stars above, but on a metaphysical level, we have to see the star within ourselves. We have to see our inherent greatness. That is the job of what Sukkot is about. Ki chelek Hashem amo, that we all be able to see the part of godliness that we have within us. And we know it's brought down in the Gemara, on the Pasuk, U'matzike harabim kekochavim, that those who are the ones who teach the little children. These are the Malamde Tinoko. The teachers are referred to as a star. Why? Because, you know, when you look at a star, it seems very small. But really, the star's like a whole galaxy. It's tremendous. Teachers also, people look at the Olam Tinoko as having a very small job. You know, you're teaching alphabet to little kids. But really, Kol Olam Omed Aleihem, the whole world is resting on them. And this is true of each and every one of us, that we're all stars. That even if a person doesn't makir his chashivos, he doesn't recognize his greatness, he has to know and believe that his neshama is very great. And there's a tremendous amount of light coming from him. And the tarif lamim bazesh yesh lo yikashurim Hashem v'tarato. And you have to believe that from within him, there is a tremendous amount of greatness. And this is part of our job on Sukkot. On Sukkot, when we sit, Tzila Demnusa, when we sit in the shade of God's presence, we've spoken about before the Ari HaKadosh, that the minimum requirement of the Sukkah is two sides and a bit of the third, which is like an embrace, a hug. That the Sukkah represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu embracing us, and we need to feel that it's not only physically embracing us, but inside and spiritually, that we are connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, an intricate connection, and that we have to be able to see that Hashem believes in us, that we have a relationship with Hashem, and that we shine like tremendous stars. As Rav Pinkus speaks about, this is very much reminiscent of the theme that we just spoke about in the Yom Kippur Shir, that when we look at ourselves, we look at ourselves as a Choshech Gadol, a great darkness. And what's the great darkness that surrounds us? It's a machshevet hakatnut, when we think of ourselves in a very small way, when we don't recognize the greatness that we potentially have. And when a person recognizes the Ein Sofiut shemitzinu be'or, the Ner Hashem nishmas adam, when a person realizes that we have the souls, like the candle of God, the light, the potential, how much koach we have, we will realize that we are the only ones who detract from the light of ourselves, is our view of ourselves. So when we're talking about on the first level, that you have to see stars from within the sukkah, yes, it means you have to see stars. But on a much deeper level, nir'im mitocha, that part of the sukkah experience is to realize our greatness. After the Yamim Noraim, after Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur, very much what we spoke about on the Yom Kippur Shir, we have to believe that those seeds are taking root, that we become, beginning to become great, and we have to look, or we are great, we begin to recognize our greatness, and we have to look within ourselves and be able to see that star shining. And this is what the holiday of Sukkot is all about. That, my friends, is the stars of the night. That is the darkness of the world, to see how we shine and how we create this aura of light to those around us. But, my friends, what we need to focus in on is what is the Kochovei Chama? What's the stars of the sun, the stars of the day? Any of you ever seen a star during the day? What does this mean? So here we have a machloke Rishonim between Rashi and the Rambam. We'll talk about it first on a technical level, what they each are, hold. And then through the writings of Tali Chaim, Rav Chaim HaKohen HaKalban, we'll see the much deeper implications in the Mirtz Hashem develop, the much deeper implications between Rashi and the Rambam. And we'll try at the end to be able to see how we really need to have both working hand in hand. And it's mamish besuki mitvash. Rashi, source number 8, Talei Chaim, Rashi notes, Mefareshe kochvei chama heim zahurei chama. These are the reflections, the rays of the sun. V'hainu karnei ha-shemesh ha-chodorot l'sukkah. It's the rays of the sun that come into the sukkah. That's what we're talking about, that you need to have some rays of sun coming to sukkah or not, whether if you don't have it, whether the sukkah is possible or not. The Rambam, on the other hand, writes that the kochvei chama, heima kochavim hanirim bisman shachama meira, v'kavanato lekochvim hagodolim shenirim bisman shkiat hachama, keshayom adai meir. Says the Rambam, no. We're talking about stars, stars are stars are stars. What we're talking about, kochvei chama, is when the sun is still around, before the shkia, before the sunset, there are stars that appear in the heavens. that you have to have the ability to see those very strong stars that are around still while there is daylight. Not only at night when it's dark, you're able to see this light, but even when the sun is around, you're able to see these stars. So Rashi holds it's the sun rays coming in. The Rambam holds it's the ability to see these stars from our sukkah. Now, what is the Sod Machloket Rashi v'Rambam? So, the first thing we have to point out in source number 9, Hine bechinat karnei ha-shemesh ha-chodrot, hisod ha-mshachat ha-lukut l'toch ha-lomod ha-tachtonim. The idea of the sun coming into our sukkah is the idea of godliness and the aura of godliness into our lives. Shine ra'inu shatzel bechinat simsum ha-or ha-yotzer ta-lomod ha-tachtonim. Shadow, darkness, is the blockage of this type of energy and feeling of God's presence. So that's why the Karnei Shemesh are the or. It's the light, it's the godliness that enters into our existence. And that's why, let that Rashi Karnei Shemesh Shvichot Lachdor Mib'ad L'Schach. Rashi holds that you have to have some sunlight coming into your sukkah. If your sukkah, your schach is so thick that there's no sunlight coming in, that would be the problem. Which means symbolically the Ora Lokut, the godly light, has to somehow enter into your life. Vasur l'sachech l'tomet ha'or, you can't block off this light completely. Which means that within our lives, a person has to feel the godliness effect in one's life. On the other hand, that's Rashi, and again we'll develop it in Mirza Hashem. But Rashi is about the godly light, the influence of Hashem, the presence of Hashem, being able to pierce through and enter into our lives. The Rambam, on the other hand, Ikara Inyani Saklut Lamala, while Rashi is about what comes into the sukkah, so it's a vantage point of I'm here and the light's coming in. The Rambam, Maimonides holds about me being able to look out. Elma Shema'ever L'schach, to be able to see what's beyond the roof. V'hainu ha'schach sarich liyot kal ba'ofen shuchal abit arkov l'rod ha'mashema'ever lo. Well, Rashi talks about what comes into the sukkah. The Rambam talks about what you're able to see beyond the sukkah, which means we know our world is a world that blocks godliness because of the physicality of this world. V'ulam, however, Adam sarich lo lenatek et olamo mishabra'o, but we can't cut ourselves completely and live in such physicality that we forget to realize from where this world comes from. Ela litbonen amok mib'ad olam lakir ha-koach ha-poel b'nif'al v'lakir mishamar v'haya olam. We have to have the ability to look beyond our world and to be able to reach beyond ourselves to realize that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And this is the difference in approach. One's focusing on what's coming in, being able to open ourselves up to receive God's light, and the other is about us taking the initiative that we look for and we search for and we try to attach ourselves to the makor, to the source of where things have come from. Let's try to take this a little bit deeper. Let's try to first understand the Rambam, Maimonides, and that's what we'll focus primarily on, and then we'll end with understanding of Rashi. Source 11. Narchima b'shitat Rambam. Let's try to understand Maimonides a little bit more. The sukkah represents the diras ha'adam, represents our home. V'hainu, this is to coming, latek makom l'adam l'avadato, the oral al-yom b'tokef kushato, mevatel mahut adam achein kla makom l'pula enoshi. You know, if you think about this world has tremendous amount of power, of godliness in this world, that to a certain extent, you know, we can almost disappear in the koach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, a Kadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamsein, he contracted his power, so that we have the ability to be able to exist in this world, as well as to have the ability to be able to connect with that which is beyond us. The schach, that the leaf, the roof of the sukkah, is that break between the heavenly world and the earthly world. The sukkah itself represents the earthly world. What's beyond the schach represents the spiritual world. And our job is that we have to make sure that there's not a disconnect between the spiritual and the physical. Our job is that we have to be able to understand shaschach lo yinatek ben adam uven haolam halyon. Halo zo nekudat havdel ben abayit l'sukah. The bayit, the house, has a ceiling. I'm totally disconnected from the spiritual realms above me. The sukkah, on the other hand, has this schach, has this ability, whether it's bamboo poles or whether it's, leaf branches, but it has the ability to pierce beyond that thickness and be able to see, you know what? There is a Ribono Shel Olam in this world. There is a God in this world. There is light in this world. There is something above me. And it allows me to strive for something. And that's why the Rambam holds, Shadam Yechol Lerot Et HaKochavim HaGdolim. What does it mean you're able to see the Kochvei Chama? It means you're able to see those bright lights. Symbolically, metaphysically, those bright lights represent the ability to see those bright lights in our life, which are the great tzaddikim, which are the great luminaries, who form for us a model, a vision of who we should be. They get us out of the lethargy and the apathy that we find ourselves, and they almost pull us and gravitate us to move beyond the here and now to see the world of greatness. Davar Zeh, the Astrakhan 13, Ma'orer Bo Shifot Kodesh, V'chnuyat Ilui Yekarami Paz. It gives us these spiritual desires and wanting, V'lishov Shifot Atzumo, to desire tremendous amount. Our job is to always look beyond the schach, to be able to see models within our lives, and to strive to live with these models of how do I, in my life and in the constraints of my life, be able to move into more of a spiritual vein. V'ulam, in Yitzamtzem Tamid 14, et ofer chayav v'etim l'gvulei hasagato v'hatzlachato, if a person, this goes back a bit to our Rosh Hashanah and Elul Shirim, if a person always limits their life into the world that they live in, into the world of the physicality, so they're going to live a life that's like a house, that's a very limited type of life. But rather, after the Yamim Noraim, after the High Holidays, the Kodesh Baruch Hu B'davka tells us, you've lived since Rosh Chodesh Elul on such a spiritual level, I want you to concretize this. I want you to go out of your home, and I want you to see that your homes don't need to have a roof made out of concrete. Your homes can have a roof that's made out of the ability to see the large stars, to see your vision, to be able to long for greatness, that you don't have to be stuck in the narrowness of your life, but you're able to strive for what we call Yirah Shamayim, fear of heaven, to be able to look up at this heaven and to be able to see the spiritual potential that's found within our lives. Kacha Sukkah 15, arrow, potachet et ha-tikra, it breaks forth the ceiling. He mavrer de merchav adam l'man yitvada o'mashem everlo. It enables the person to see there's a great wide world beyond oneself. And to be able, and this is the idea of Sukkis, l'man yedu dorotechem, in order that your generation should know, Sukkis is about petichas hadat, being able to open up our knowledge. The skulas of Sukkah hi harchavas hadat, hishtayichud el mashem ever. It enables us to see what is beyond ourselves. It enables us to move beyond the narrowness and the confines of our lives. So the Rambam opinion, Maimonides' opinion is that we have to be able, sitting in our sukkah, to be able to see the great stars that are out, even when the sun is shining. And that is incumbent upon us when the sun is shining, which is symbolic of the physical world, of the world of Teva, the world of nature, right? Ein chadash tachat ha-shemesh. There's nothing new under the sun, only above the sun. Above the supernatural is anything new. When the sun is still shining, when we're living in the physical world, when we're living in the world of the cause and effect, you have to be able to look up the Rambam says, and be able to see stars. The stars are symbolic of the righteous people. The stars are symbolic of the ability to have a vision, the ability to move beyond the narrow confines of our life, to move beyond the concrete on every level of meaning, and be able to see that I can strive for more, and be able to see that I, who am a star, need to be able to shine even greater, and I can't limit myself in my life. This is almost like the theme song of Mina Meitzar Karatika Anani Bamerchavka that we've been speaking about over all these shiurim, to move away from our narrowness to our greatness, to be able to believe in ourselves, to be able to plant those seeds, and be able to see the greatness that is found within. This challenge of moving beyond ourselves and having a vision, those stars is really about a vision, is really yesod in Yiddishkeit. The Sifti Chaim Rav Chaim Friedlander speaks about in a beautiful essay of Chelek Aleph of Sifti Chaim that she'ifa is t'nai l'chol aliyah. Having ambition is the prerequisite of all moving forward. And he notes the famous idea of the story of the Ben Sora Mora at the beginning of Parsha Ki Teitzei 16 through 18. Ben Sora Mora is an individual, a boy, very narrow time, 13 and 6 months, who has to eat a certain amount of food, drink a certain amount of wine, disobey his parents. It's very, very specific. He's Zola, the Sove, and he's put to death. And the rabbis explain, why is he put to death? El Shem Sofo, because he may come to last name at Tabrios, he may come to kill people, you know, to rob, to get money, and who knows what will be at the end, so we kill him now. And Chazal tell us, our rabbis tell us, lo haya v'lo nivra, there was never such a case of Ben Sora Mora. Why do we have it in the Chumash? To learn from it. What are we supposed to learn? A very interesting Ramban. The Ramban says, what was so great about the sin of the Ben Sora Mora, the eating, the drinking? He says, what was great about him is that we are toveya him. We hold him accountable for going over kedoshim tiyu, going over uvot hidbaku, of not living a life of kedusha, not living a life of clinging to God. So the Farshim of the Ramban asks, whoa, for that you're going to potentially put somebody to death? Most people who don't eat and drink aren't holding by kedoshim tiyu, uvot hidbaku. Most of us aren't holding by this. Because we're going to put everybody to death who's not holding by a life of kedusha, a life of holiness, a life of connection to God? So the Sichos Sifti Chaim explains in 18, Be'er Inyan. What it means is the following. Adam miyad b'tchilat darko, a person at the beginning of their journey. A boy, here he's 13. Sarich l'rov v'latad et ha-matara v'kivun she'lav alav lakia. He has to have a vision of where he's going. And therefore, v'lefi said, according to this, liyo gam shifato b'chol pulotav b'chol ma'asav. If you have a vision, and we'll talk more about this next week, in Yiratzeh Hashem, Parshat Noach. If you have the goal that you want to reach, so then you're able to direct all of your actions toward this goal. It's not just this is a high level to reach, but this is very basic. You can't be an Eved Hashem unless you have goals that you want to reach. The problem with Ben Sora Mora was that he didn't have a matarav kivun shelavu tzarich lishov. He didn't have a vision where he was going. He was so caught in the here and now. This is our challenge in life. If a boy in 19 comes into yeshiva and all he wants to do is learn one daf of Gemara and he's capable of far more, he's limiting himself. He's not going to be successful. That's why in Source 20, the Masil Shesharim begins off by teaching us the famous Mishnah, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, of how a person can go from step to step until they reach Ruach HaKodesh. Masil Shesharim is beginning off with the end goal, Ruach HaKodesh. How many people can even get past Zrizus, the heroes, Precious, to reach Ruach HaKodesh? It's irrelevant. it is relevant, don't get me wrong, but what's relevant is, do I have a desire to reach that goal? Is this where I'm headed? Am I a person who's going to be very limited in where I am, that I'm not going to reach anywhere? Our job in our life when I wake up in the morning is to have a vision of greatness, then I'll achieve something. If my vision is just to get through the day and, you know, like slide into home plate, so that's how I'm going to live my life. It's very limiting on what I can accomplish. Looking up at the stars is a challenge for all of us. It's almost a directive for all of us after the high holidays to be able to sit in the sukkah and the sila demnusa and in the embrace of God and to realize the spiritual reality of how I'm limiting my life in such a very narrow way. What are my visions? I've just been through Yamim Nareem. I just took on that Kabbalah. I took on that idea of what I'm going to start taking out of my life to try to expand myself a bit, to add more to my life. But what's my vision? Where do I want to go? Sitting in the sukkah and looking up at the Zoharei Chama, at the Kochvei Chama, I'm looking up and seeing that life is about having a goal, having spiritual goals, looking at what do I want to accomplish spiritually in my life. And as the Michtam Eliyahu Rav Dessler points out, he says in 21, "Kasherat meitziva dam matara latzmo lagila darga misuyemet," when a person sets up for themselves to reach a certain level or to acquire a certain ma'ilam ma'ilos hanefesh, even though they know that something is very difficult to reach this, but if the person is strong and says that after all my hard work, I know I'm going to reach it. It's going to be hard. I'm going to struggle, but I know I'm going to get there. That bitachon, that confidence, kishalatzmo, mochiach sheyesh lo kvar achshav shayachut ma'aloto ma'ilelai elahu choter. To some extent, he's already been there. To some extent, he's already successful. Why? Because he has that vision, and he's holding on to that with dear life, that I am going to achieve this. And when a person really believes in it, indeed, he will say to the Shemaya, be successful. And that's why in 22, but if we see that a person isn't successful and all that they've tried to do doesn't hold, Al yashla otanu hayetzara, let not the evil inclination fool you, ki ilu achisaron v'yecholet b'kol shalanu, that the problem is our ability. You know, taka, you're not that strong, you're not that capable, you can't be successful. Ela neida shelo zu asiba, this isn't the reason why our kabbalos didn't hold. This isn't the reason why we haven't changed. Hashoef el ato b'kol kocho, because if a person really wants this, yizbor sheyesh b'yado yecholet l'kiela, and therefore he will really work toward it. If a person isn't successful in working towards something, it has nothing to do with ability. Alav ladat shechaser b'amitat shifato. The problem is his shifa. His problem is his longing. His problem is, where was his passion? Did he have the vision of the stars that he was aiming for, shooting for the stars? Was he there? Was he one who was shooting for those stars? Because when you shoot for the stars, you have that, to a certain degree, connection to reach this. This helps us explain in Ben Mishpatayim, in source number 23, the Medrash that says, Amar Rav Brechia, Moshe is more beloved than Noach. Noach originally was called an Ishtatik, and then toward the end of his life, we've spoken about this, he was called an Ish Adama, a man of the ground, right? He planted a vineyard. Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of his life was called an Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian man. At the end of his life, he's called an Ish Elokim, a man of God. And you see the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Noach. So the Ben Mishpatayim explained, it's not that Noach didn't have the ability for greatness. He had the ability for greatness. And what was the problem with Noach? It was the problem of his she'ifa. And that's a deeper understanding of the Medrash. Yesh dorshimoto lignai, v'yesh dorshimoto l'shevach. Some look at him negatively, some look at him positively. The problem with Noach was he had potential to either grow into the greatest of the great, or the potential to stop his growth. That he wasn't a mahalech. He rather stayed in his place. And when a person stays in their place, we know they really go down. And this is the greatest challenge that we have. As the Saba of Kelm says to his Talmidim, my children, he says, don't try to live a simple life. Because if you live simply, you'll always be simple people. You'll daven, you'll do mitzvahs, but you'll remain simple. V'aleinu tamid lishof lo lashir pshutim. We have to strive not to remain simple. That all of our learning, all of our davening, all of our mitzvahs should be a medium to grow to greatness. But we have to have that vision of greatness. We have to be able to look forward to, what do we want to be? Who do we want to be? What type of person do I want to be? And this is the question to think about when sitting in the sukkah. Is there wonderful, obviously, El or Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sefer Tshuva, but particularly in the sukkah, when we're sitting the Sila Demnusa, to look up at those stars and to say, one, do I feel like I'm a star? Do I see the shine come from me? And two, do I have visions that reach the stars? Am I shooting for the stars? What is my spiritual vision for myself? What do I hope to accomplish? What type of person do I hope to be? In what areas? And this is the idea that the Siva Shalom speaks about, of that a person can get to in 26 after 120 years and be someone who keeps Torah and mitzvot. And they asked him, but you were here in this world to accomplish a specific job. You've done everything but what you were supposed to do. As we spoke about in the Eloshir, do we have a sense of what are the midos we're supposed to be working on? What is something that we confront over and over again? Are we aware of it? Are we working on this? Are we somebody? And that's why the first words to the first Jew is Lech Lecha, go into yourself. Move forward, never stand still. The whole idea of a Jew is halicha, is walking. A Jew doesn't know what it means to stand in one place. How can I grow? How can I change? How can I learn from the things around me? As we've spoken about by the Avos HaKadoshim, by Moshe Rabbeinu, we have Shmuel HaNavi, their names repeated twice, which is about the image of below and the image of above have come together. By friend and offer, you can't refuse in 30. Just as there are two Avrams and two Moshe's, also two of each and every one of us. There's one image, we spoke about this Rosh Hashanah, in heaven of what we could and should be. And then there's the image of the reality here on earth. Can these two images be brought into alignment so they can become one mirror images? They certainly can, but it's up to us. That is our mission here on this earth. When the opportunity presents itself, it's our responsibility to rise to that occasion. Otherwise, we may remain in the unfulfilled image of ourselves that bears no resemblance to our image in heaven. He continues in the Sefer, listen to your messages, Rabbi Fran, the 31, that Adam Arishon named all the animals. And then Hashem said to him, what name do you give yourself? He says, I should be called Adam because I was taken from the earth, from the Adama. What exactly do the Medrash see Adam's great wisdom in this response? How does the connection between Adam and Adama reflect on the essence of the human being? What does this medrash mean? So the Altar of Sablaka explains that an Adam, a human being, is indeed essentially like the Adama, the ground. You put things in the ground and they grow. You work, hoe, till, fertilize, prune, harvest, and plant again. That's the nature of the ground. A human being is the same. His whole life is a continuous cycle of effort and growth. A constant battle that never ends. The Medrash tells us that whenever an episode begins with the word Vayeshev, and he sat, it's a sign of foreboding. Why is this so? The Maharal explains that sitting in one place involves calamity. Jews weren't made to sit still. Maybe that's why we get all this shuckling coming from. A Jew has to be constantly changing, constantly growing, constantly battling and struggling to reach new levels of achievement. Life is about change. Life is about growth. Life is about falling down and getting up and dusting yourself off and continuing the struggle. Life is like an escalator. The famous Magid of Kelm once called upon his audience to imagine that all those buried in the Kelm cemetery could suddenly come back to life for a half an hour. What would they do? This one would run to the Beis Medrash to learn, and this one to the hospital to visit the sick, and this one to help out a poor widow. All the while, each of these reprieved souls would watch the clock to see how much time was left. The Magi concluded the shuls by asking, Rabosai, if we have more than a half hour? Is that so bad? Does every moment then cease to be precious? Is that a reason to not keep our eyes cocked on the clock all the time to make sure we're not wasting time? And who can really be sure that he has more than a half hour? My friends, this is our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to move outside of ourselves. Our challenge is to be able to see the stars in the heaven, to be able to see the visions that we have, and be able to live on these visions. Just to add one more idea on this idea of moving forward, of not living a life, as he says in 35, Rabbi Fran, of the Shalom Yeli Ki Bishribus Libi Elech, loosely translated, I'm fine, leave me alone, which a Chazar Ish calls someone who displays this attitude, a Benoni Bishita, a person who deliberately chooses to be mediocre as a matter of principle, but life is not that way. There's no standing still, not when it comes to Ruchnias. I just want to add one more nekuta on this idea of having a vision of moving forward before we go on to the Shita of Rashi. And that's a very beautiful idea that Rav Wolbe speaks about in Chelek Beis and the Alei Shur, where he speaks about the Pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Beis, a Beis Yaakov L'chu V'Neucha Bor Hashem, that we should move forward in the light of God. And the Navi goes on to say, Ki Natashtam Cha Beit Yaakov, Ki Mal'u Mikedem V'Onanim Kiplishtim U'B'Yaldei Gvarim Yaspiku. And he describes how the people in his time were happy with what they have. They left the Beis Yaakov. They filled their land with Kesev and Zahav. They filled their land with horses and with chariots. But Tamalei Artso Elilim, and they would bow down to the gods they made with their hands. Vayishach Adam Vayishapel Ish Ve'al Tisalahem. And the people of that time, instead of going up, which is the vision of Beis Yaakov, L'chu V'Neu Chabor Hashem, they fell. They bowed down. They lowered themselves. And Rav Wolbe speaks about in a very prophetic, profound, and poetic, three P's, that this is Nevuah L'Doros. He says, look at our lives. He says, fashion, we're dictated by Paris. Every new technology that comes out, we run after it. Every, you know, kid wants to be able to have a license and have a, you know, a car of themselves. V'ein k'sei l'merkavotav, there's no end to the chariot. People define themselves by their external values. But he says, when you live such a life, you're missing the core meaning, the core value. He says, we live in a life where if you have a beautiful imagery, what are you thinking about? This is a Kodak moment. Let me take a picture. If you hear a beautiful, you know, song, you immediately want to tape it. You know, when Rav Wolbe was writing, they used to have cameras and they used to have tape recorders. Now, you know, you walk around with your iPhone and it does everything for you. Soon you won't even have to walk around with that. You'll just have your thumbprint and you'll be able to have everything at your fingertips. But you're bowing down. You're bowing down to all the externals of life. We're living life in the world of the technology, but we're missing the core. We're missing who we are. We're missing what it makes us, the regesh, the heart, the feeling of who we are. And this is why I wanted just to mention this idea in the Rambam Shita, that one of the challenges that we have in having this vision of moving beyond ourselves is that we live in a life that's very much almost drowns out that inner voice. When we're so into the world of technology and in the world of not even having to think, you know, whatever I need, I have a calculator. They don't even teach penmanship anymore in a lot of schools because you have a computer. Who needs spelling when you have spell check? The mind, the human being, the persona, right? We've spoken about many times the book, The Shallows. We don't even think. Our brain waves have changed. We can't even think in a deep type of meaningful way. This is the world we live in, and is it any wonder when we live in a world that's so superficial and that's so technologically driven that it's hard to have vision, that it's hard to move beyond the here and now and be able to think for ourselves, which is one of the greatest challenges that I have many, but that I have with working with 18-year-olds. It's they want you to tell them what to do. So they give you a situation in life, and you say, okay, now what do you think? And they say, that's not what I want, Mrs. Wilde. I want you to tell me what to do. I understand what you want me to do. But what are the pros and the cons? What do you think you should do? What would happen if you do X? What would you happen if you do Y? What are the consequences of X and Y? And they look at me with like a blank stare, and they're like, huh? Like, consequences? Thinking? Like, just tell me I should do this or I shouldn't do this. Tell me how to say it. Tell me what to do, where to go. Rabosai, when we live this type of life, we're living in a world of concrete above our heads. Forget about concrete above our heads. We're living in an igloo, a frozenness. We don't even have that much room between us and our head. We're closed in and cloistered and suffocating. Sukha, same diras kevel, diras arai. Walk out of the home you're in 360 days a year, or whatever it is, and walk out into the world and be able to see that there's vision, that you're able to think for yourself, you're able to meditate, you're able to envision what it would be like if only I could, and go after those visions, and go after those thoughts. Sukkot is about being able to dream the dreams and really almost have this passion to run after these dreams. That's the Rambam, that's Maimonides. See those stars, be inspired by those stars, and go running after those stars. But then comes along Rashi, and Rashi in 41 back to Talei Chaim tells us that Rashi shitzarich l'roh mibad l'tzach et zahoreh ha-chamad, you have to see the sun reflected in. Shema karnayim shenichlaso l'toch ha-sukkah, those are the rays of the sun that enter into the sukkah. V'heim or mimuach yechol likanes, it's a small amount of light that comes in, which means on a deeper level that although we have to think great and large and shoot for the stars, we also have to know how to bring that spiritual light in a measured form into our lives. We have to have it's a rich mitzad echad shelo ye'or haratzon rav miyedi. We can't have too much enthusiasm and passion. Umitzad sheni shelo ye minutak l'gamer, but we can't be completely cut off. Ubeir enyan hu shekadei shuchal adam lanu b'chayei ayom yom. In order to live our lives, tzarich ulmakeder etzerotav, you have to be able to balance those desires. Shvahainu shafim etzerotav olin l'shchakei shamayim. Even though we have these great visions, matay yagyu masay moseh mosay, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, when will my actions reach my forefathers? And you know, you want to achieve the greatest amount, you also have to know, how do you bring this into the world of the practical? Sarich 41, the arrow of some same ritzono tavlu makdam, kedei lagieta pulota masio. Because what could happen is, a person could dream the greatest dreams, and they'll be dreaming those dreams their whole life. But they never have worked through, how do I now work on actualizing those dreams? The idea of the Rambam is you need to take the Karnei Shemesh, you need to take that vision, that awesome light, and be allowed in a measured way, not so much light, too much light, it's possible, but to have enough light to come in that you're able to take these visions and work with it. It's like you can't have an engine for a spaceship to drive through narrow alleyways. You're going to blow, right? It's not going to work. Likewise, we have to be able to balance our lives. Al Adama Boger, the end of 42, B'nafsho, Ladat Lachil, Shnei Mechavim, B'toch Levavo. We have to know what it means to live a balanced life. On the one hand, Me'al HaSchach, to live above the Schach. Ma'al olam ma'aseh, above the world of the action, to have vision, to have passion. But yeh mitachedin neshama hashata b'kochavim, to be able to unify with our soul, which is that bright star. And that's on the one hand. On the other hand, There has to be a shalom v'achdut ben aguf v'neshama, ben ha'maisel ben ha'chalom. But you also have to have a balance between the body and the soul, between the vision and being able to bring it into the world of practical. And that's why the Rashi says, if the roof of the sukkah is so thick that no sunlight can come in, then that is a nitak ben ha'chalom shel adam uben ha'metziyut. It breaks us from our vision to who we are. Ben shifos in the shema uben ha'bituy ha'masi, from what our soul wants to the world of action. And we know people like this. We know people who dream, and then they get so frustrated they say, you know what, it can never happen. Those are the people who don't allow the sunlight to come in. Those are the people who don't allow those visions to inspire them, to be ignited by these passions. They don't allow any light to come in, and they live their whole lives in a level of darkness. And that's not healthy. What we're talking here is about a balance. To have a vision of the Rambam. To have a vision of the stars in heaven. But to have the capacity to be able to take that light and be able to draw it into my life in a way that's user-friendly. In a way that I can take those dreams and make them and turn them into reality. That it's practical. That it's hands-on. That I don't cut myself off away from those dreams. The Rav Meislish in Sichos Bavadat Hashem in 45 speaks about the story of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who once went to visit his uncle in the Granada Yeshiva. And he asked his uncle, the Gaon Rav Avraham Yafit, who is, asking about different boys in the Yeshiva. And he asked him who was the greatest Amken. And his uncle pointed to a certain boy who's the greatest, you know, person who has Amkus, this boy who has the greatest, ability to understand the Gemara, this boy, and asking for different boys, who has the greatest Pilpul, this boy, different boys. And then Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked, and who is, would you say, the greatest boy in the yeshiva? Who has the Baal Milos? And he pointed to another boy who he hadn't even mentioned. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, hold on a second. This boy is the most brilliant boy. This boy has the ability to analyze the best. This boy has the ability. All these boys have great abilities, but you're saying this boy is the best boy? So his uncle said yes, because this boy has a quality that makes him unique. And that quality is to be a mevakesh. He desires. He's not satisfied with what he has, but he always wants to learn more. And being desiring to learn more propels him forward, that he never sits back, but he moves forward. And that person was none other than the Shtaitler, who became Balkilos Yaakov, one of the greatest Gedolim in Klal Yisrael. What was his koach? His koach was to have that vision of the heavens and being able to bring it down into the world of action, into the world where we have. If we said she'ifa, passion, ambition, knowing our goal is the prerequisite in the world of the stars, what is the prerequisite in one word to be able to bring it down into my life, to be able to allow those sun rays to be able to impact who I am? So perhaps we can say the word is rutzo, is desire. Koach Echad Rav Volbi writes, Mekanein b'chol adam, ha'amok shebekocho. There's one quality that's found within us in the most deepest way. The koach kabir hu lemasim hu mevi. And this quality is what brings us to the world of action. The gamat haderech hu meir, and it enlightens our path. Ki gam shiata d'shmaya hu ma'oreh, and it awakens heavenly help. And that word is ratzon, desire. When we're talking about desire, we're not talking about desires that come fleeting here and there. You know, I have a desire to go shopping. Now I have a desire to eat ice cream. Now I have a desire to change my clothes 4 times. Today, we're talking about those type of desires. Those come and go. We're talking about Ashar l'rakeze kol koach ha'ani b'ratzon echad. This, my friends, is so deep. We can really distill down all of who we are in one ratzon, in one desire, hamemalei kol hadam, that fills us to our entirety, l'chol amko, l'chol gavho, to all of our depth, to all of our height. And this is the deciding factor in who we are going to be in every stage of our lives. So Gemara says, Ein lecha davar homei bifnei ratzon, nothing stands in the way of desire. The Daro Shaddam wrote, said, Lelechba molichi moso, another Gemara. In the path we want to go, we will be successful. Hamatzliach lachnis ha-shifali kavur el Hashem lo v'rato b'ratzon, sharatzon yitmalek kulo b'davar ha-cha v'yachid zeh. If when a person has a vision, right, as we spoke about, they see the stars, you then have to have a desire to bring that vision into the world of reality. And that's who you're going to be. If he says, for example, your whole desire in 50 is to be a person of chesed, and your whole raison d'etre in life is to give to others, so then that is what defines you. Who you are is a person of chesed, a person of giving. If your whole raison d'etre in life is to be a person who's a Baal Emes, a person of the truth, then that's what people will know about you, is that whatever they ask you, they know you'll get an honest response. Your yes is your yes, and your no is your no. If a person's whole raison is tefillah, then this is where they'll put their energy. We have to be able, and this is the second avoda, to have visions and dreams, and be able to know what's our ratzon, what is our core desire, how do I bring those visions and dreams into the world of reality. To have she'ifa, to have vision is not enough. It has to be vision with ratzon, with desire. And he says, Rov b'nei adam eino yodim klal mahim rotzim. Most people don't even know what they want. Most people are running after this or running after that. They have no clue. And he says, when a person doesn't feel that they're successful, and they say, well, I need siyata d'shmaya, they're wrong. They're almost, you know, complaining against God. No. If you do what is incumbent upon you, and this is your whole being, then you will get that siyata d'shmaya to be successful. In kol aliyato shel adam k'shura b'chizuk haratzon liyot ba'al atayr, if this is where you want to be, ein or karatzon, there is no light like the light of desire. Let's see what we've seen so far, and we'll conclude with one final idea. This Gemara, which seems to be a very simple Gemara, you have to see the stars, best to see the stars from your sukkah, the stars of the night. And as we saw, understood a little bit more deeply, it's best to see mitocha, from yourself, the godliness, the kafvav, the shem hashem, the kafbet, the 22 letters, the skula, am skula, the three prong of kudsha b'richu, right, son Yisrael chadu. That we have to see our inherent greatness. So we have to see that we don't live, don't focus in on the dark sky, focus in on the bright lights that each and every one of us have, the godliness that's found within us. And that's one of the ideas of what sukkah is about. To be able to sukkah, sochin, to be able to be infused with, to be able to see, right? Sochin b'ruach hakodesh, to be able to see the greatness of holiness that's found within each and every one of us. But there's also an idea of the kochavei chama, that we also have to see the stars of the day. And that's the machlok between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, whether that's ma'akev or not, whether it makes our sukkah posel or not. What's these kochavei chama? So the Rambam is the approach of the stars of the night that you can see. They're so bright even during daytime. And that is our ability on a philosophical level to be able to, even in daytime, even in the world of the natural world, to be able to have spiritual visions, to be able to sit here in this world and look beyond, up beyond our narrowness of our lives, and be able to see, you know, there's stars out there, there's greatness out there. I have a she'ifa, I have a passion, I have a desire to move beyond myself, to reach greatness, to be able not to live a pasher to light, not to go from an ish tzadik to an ish adama like Noah, to be able to move beyond the narrowness of my life into something greater. The Avram Avraham, that the Avram above meets the Avram below, that the two images God has for me, the one down here and the one up here, merge. The ability to see outside of my sukkah, these lights are the ability to move beyond myself, to try to align these two parts of who I am. That the Adama, I'm here to grow, I'm here to change. I'm not here, Vayeshev, it's Lashon Sar, to sit, is the language of despair. Jews never sit still. But it's not enough just to have the Rambam to dream, because people can dream their whole lives. The dream has to be able to be brought into the world of reality. And that's the Shita of Rashi, that it's not looking above, but being able to bring the sun rays down. Not overwhelming, because if it's overwhelming, we're just going to, like, you know, that Manoa, that engine of the spaceship in a small car, it's going to blow us out of the water. We're not going to be able to handle it, and it's going to be overwhelming. We have to be able to have some sunlight. It has to be Sila Maruta Mechamasav, more shade than sunlight. But a little bit of light into our sukkah, that those rays represent the Ratzon, our desire to be able to take our dreams and our visions and put them into the world of reality. And when we sit in the sukkah, we have to ask ourselves, what are my goals? What type of person do I want to be? What is the core Ratzon? What is it that I want it to be said about me, that this is who I am, that this is the type of spiritual life that I live? You know, where was I reading? I don't even know. That at a funeral, all this rabbi could say, or the person who was masking the person, was he had a nice set of hair. I mean, it was like you have to read this four times. That's all you could say about a person, if they had a nice set of hair? Oy vavoy, if this is what they say about us after 120 years. I mean, that's pretty sad, no? What would you like them to say about you? What type of person are you? That is the question. And we don't know how long we have in this world. Whether it's a 10-year-old boy who, all I know, gets taken from us immediately, a 67-year-old woman who taken from us immediately in the last few weeks. We don't know. We don't know. We have no preparation. But what we do know is that while we're here on this earth, we can define ourselves by living toward this goal, by bringing these sun rays into our lives and saying, I'm not going to live a life of total being insulated and sealed in. I'm going to allow these passions and these dreams to turn into a reality, to be able to be brought down into my life. The Talei Chaim concludes with which we will conclude, and he says, when we, Chazal tell us, say Midiras Keva, go and walk away, walk out of your Diras Keva, walk out of your location of the habits of the mundane of life, how you live your life all the time. He Kansu, the asterisk in 52, Uvo Banai El Sukkah, be able to enter into the Sukkah, which is the Kedusha Tzuma. Lo tikrati ebeninu. There won't be a ceiling between us. But rather there'll be a beautiful ceiling made up of natural growth. Sila demnusa. It's going to be the shade of the Almighty. Sel shekulo munav and optimism. It's the shade of faith. A faith in ourselves. That faith that Hashem has in us. Faith of us in Hashem. Then optimism. Selmo David Tomer, it's a shade that gives us that strength of you can do it. Nafshi Chamda Bitzel Yadecha, my soul desires in the shade of your hand. The Tzel Shemorer Talev Lachmod Madrigot Shakdusha, it's the heart that desires levels of Kedusha. I sit in the shade of God in the Sukkah, and I desire Nafshi Chamda B'Tzel Yadecha. I desire when I sit in your Sukkah. And the end of this in the Anius Miros, Ladad Kol Rav Sodecha, to know all the secrets of your secrets. Lichsof el narot el yonim orot vesegim. I want to be able to know the depth of what this world is about, to be able to move to the level of the na'arus and the yaldus, the level of the children who have visions, who have hope, which is the idea of zacharti la'chesen urayich, avak lulotayich lechtech acharei b'midbar, which is what the sukkah is all about. Where Hashem says, pasuk in Yirmiyah, beis, I remember the chesed, the kindness of your youth, the love of your youth, the way you walked after me in the desert. The sukkah experience is the experience of going back, like the Jews are compared to the youth of following God, of being able to have that innate faith, or a little child who takes her parent's hand to cross the street. We, sitting in the sukkah, need to go back to that level of the childhood as well, like 100, like 20, like 7, like Sarei Menu, to be able to go back to that stage of the innocence of the youth, of the beauty of the youth, and of the dream of the youth, that nothing stands in our way, and we're able to accomplish, and we know we'll have the Siyata Deshmaya to be successful. I wish all of us, as we sit in the sukkah, in the Sila Demnusa, as we search out for the stars, we shoot for the stars, that we have to realize that there's a star that's found within us, shining bright, and that there are great stars that Hashem wants us to be able to reach for, and that we should never limit ourselves, we should never be apathetic or be miyayesh and give up on the stars that we can reach. If we really believe in them and we really have the desire to be able to fulfill them, then we'll be able to sit in the sukkah and take the sukkah experience as an inspiration to move beyond ourselves, to be able to get that Siyata Deshmaya, that help from above, the rays of God's light in our lives, that Ratzon, that deep desire to be able to indeed fulfill these visions and live a life of connection between ourselves and God, and a life of constant growth where the Schach doesn't limit us. It rather, as they made out of things that grow from the ground, is a model and symbol for us that we're constantly growing, we're constantly moving, and there is no need to have to be living in a world of limitations. Chag Sameach.